I remember when Liz and I lived in California. We lived in a huge bungalow, as they call them. And we were preparing our house for sale so we could move to Missouri to be part of what was then called Yahweh's New Covenant Assembly. The appraiser came and inspected the house. He told us that we had to bolt the house to its foundation, a cement wall upon which the house was built. Between the walls was dirt. It was built on the rock, but not connected to it. It was not, therefore, founded upon the rock. A flood, an earthquake, or a tornado would have whisked the house away to oblivion. And this was an object lesson for me, in that this house of flesh must be bolted to that rock of our salvation. We must be one with Yahweh through Yahshua. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29, we read the final verses of chapter 7, which are basically a conclusion to chapters 5 and 6 and 7. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Yahshua had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Matthew 7, verse 24, 29 are the verses which are the conclusion to Yahshua's Sermon on the Mount. Messiah states in the verses I just read, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. It would seem important to know what these sayings are if we are to prevail against the coming storm. So let's examine them briefly. He begins by describing characteristics of believers as they progress in their understanding, knowledge, strength, wisdom, and sacrifice to become mature believers, to become perfect, as the scripture says. He speaks of those who are blessed, from those who have no faith, to those who boldly proclaim the evangel. He is speaking to the poor in spirit, who have no understanding, faith, or substance. He is speaking to those who mourn when they discover their sinfulness and the result, eternal death. He is speaking to the meek, who discover that Yahshua can cleanse them of their sin, humbling them. He is speaking to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who seek to understand the deeper truths. He's speaking to the merciful, who bear no grudges, judge no one, and care for the fatherless and the helpless. He is speaking to the pure in heart, who worship Yahweh in spirit and truth, following in Yahshua's steps. He's speaking to the peacemakers, who bring sinners to Yahweh's kingdom. And he's speaking to those who are persecuted and punished for righteousness' sake, who boldly speak against the disobedient. These are those to whom Yahshua is speaking. And further, he teaches or commands us to be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Do not even think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Do and teach the commandments. Do not be angry with your brother without a cause. Do not say, you fool. In other words, do not judge or condemn others. He tells us to be reconciled to your brother and then make your offering to Yahweh. Agree with your adversary quickly. Do not look at a woman to lust for her. Do not divorce except for sexual immorality. Do not marry a woman who is divorced. Yeah, no, I had a tough time with that one too. He says to us, do not swear at all. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. In other words, be honest. Do not stand against an evil person. In other words, do not argue with those who disobey Yahweh. Give to him who asks you. From him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, because that really annoys them. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. In other words, grow up. Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, because therefore you have your reward. Do charitable deeds in secret. When you pray, go into your room. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. In this manner, therefore, pray. Heavenly Father, your name is holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily provision. Forgive us our debts in the manner that we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May it be so. He continues. He says, forgive men their trespasses. That is, if you want Yahweh to forgive yours. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Serve Yahweh. Do not worry about your life. In fact, do not worry. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Do not worry about tomorrow. Do not judge. Remove the plank from your own eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Ask, seek, and knock. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Enter by the narrow gate. Beware of false prophets. Bear good fruit. And do the will of my Father in heaven. These are the sayings of Yahshua that are covered in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And let me reiterate his conclusion to all this, Matthew 7, 24, and 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, you're hearing them, right? And does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house, his tabernacle, on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now the word rock is preceded by the article the, both in English and in Greek. The rock is what it's talking about. Who or what is the rock? The Hebrew word for rock is tsur. Properly, it means a cliff or a sharp rock as compressed. Generally, it means a rock or a boulder. And figuratively, it means a refuge. Also an edge, as precipitous. The scripture tells us about this rock. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4, it says, "For I proclaim the name of Yahweh. I proclaim the authority of Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our Elohim. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, an Elohim of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." It's also found in Deuteronomy 32:15. But Yeshurun, that's the symbolic name for Israel, "But Yeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook Elohim." This is Israel. And it's also us today in this land. "Then he forsook Elohim who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation." Again in Deuteronomy 32, beginning at verse 18. "Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the Elohim who fathered you. And when Yahweh saw it, he spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters." It's really important that we understand what is being said here, and that is that if we ignore Yahweh and his commandments, if we ignore Yahshua and fail to walk the walk that he did, then we will be spurned as well. We will be burned, as it were, in the lake of fire. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 2 and 3, "The Spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The El of Israel said, 'The Rock of Israel spoke to me.' He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Elohim." And in Psalms 92, verses 13 through 15, we read, "Those who are planted in the house of Yahweh," as actually the word planted is transplanted, "those who are transplanted in the house of Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of our Elohim. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." In Matthew 16, beginning at verse 15, we read, "He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim.' Yahshua answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.'" Now, verse 18 has been violated by those who would proclaim that Yahshua gave his honor and his authority to Peter. And this is absurd. Yahshua reigns from heaven, sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Peter is the Greek word petros, which means a piece of rock. However, upon this rock, Petra, it means upon a massive rock. Yahshua was speaking of himself when he says, "On this rock, I will build my assembly." He is that massive rock upon which he will build his assembly. And we are to build upon that rock. Now, continue in these last verses, the conclusion to Yahweh's Sermon on the Mount, we read in Matthew 7, verses 26 and 27. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What does sand do? It shifts from here to there and back again. It is subject to the environment, which scatters it and forms it to its own will, figuratively speaking. We live in a sandy world. Governments change according to the morals and values of those who make decisions affecting the people under their care or control, as it were. So we need to ask, what are morals and values, and from whence do they come? Well, I'm ahead of myself. Let me see. Okay. Where do values and morals come from? Values are the specific beliefs of an individual, beliefs that are taught through the life experiences of that individual. For example, if I were raised in a home where a certain group of people were viewed as subhuman or wicked because their speech, looks, or religion, I might see them as a threat of some sort to me, and my behavior toward them would be hostile. Then the judgments, my behavior might be hostile towards them. We act out of our values. Now, if I live in a community where everyone has the same set of values, then the judgments of good or bad, right or wrong, become that community's morals. Okay, so values are things that we adhere to, things that we believe. But when we live in a community, all of whom believe that, then those beliefs become their morality. We base judgments on morals, not values. We say that someone is immoral, meaning that they do what is considered wrong. We do not have a way of judging people's values unless they do something that is considered wrong in that society. Yahshua is describing the values that he and Yahweh prescribe and proscribe, in other words, the good things to do and the bad things to do. And these values are the foundation of their morality, and upon which their judgment shall be made. Unlike the values of humanity, Yahweh's values never change, and neither does his morality. So therefore, neither does good and bad change. Neither does right or wrong change. Hence, any morality that does not conform to his values is immoral. Does that make sense? That if we do not understand what he wants us to do, then we are acting immorally. How many things in this society are immoral? Any leader who declares, "We all worship the same God," is clearly bereft of understanding. And any pastor, preacher, minister, elder, or priest who teaches against these values of Yahshua and Yahweh is also bereft of understanding. These are the poor in spirit, who will be blessed if they ask for truth, seek wisdom, and knock on the door of life. John 10, verse 9, "I am the door," says Yahshua. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And Revelation 3, begin at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. In other words, that word repent means return to Yahweh. It doesn't mean simply stop doing what you're doing. It means turn back to Yahweh. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Joshua speaking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, overcomes what? Overcomes the immorality of this world, overcomes the values of this world. I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let me conclude with these last two verses of Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And so it was, when Joshua had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so I say, may we have ears to hear the words of Joshua, which are the word of Yahweh, and may we do them. Hallelujah.